The Fiery Furnaces were joined by an unlikely guest on their 2005 album Rehearsing My Choir, their 80-something grandmother. My guests, brother and sister Matthew and Eleanor Friedberger, make up the Fiery Furnaces. Eleanor sings, Matthew plays piano and synthesizer, does most of the songwriting, and some singing. They released their first CD in 2003. Fresh Air rock critic Ken Tucker has described the band as engaged in creating a new kind of art song, pop music, that seems as interested in a certain kind of poetry as it is in music. Ken put Rehearsing My Choir on his 10 Best list last year. The Fiery Furnaces just released their fourth CD. It's called Bitter Tea, and it was recorded at the same time as Rehearsing My Choir, but it has a very different sound. This track is called I'm in No Mood. That's the Fiery Furnaces from their new CD, Bitter Tea. Matthew Friedberger, Eleanor Friedberger, welcome to Fresh Air. I really like this track. It's such an interesting mix of like pop and electronics that you're doing, catchy hooks and kind of avant-garde stuff mixed in. How would you describe what you do?
Well, that song, I'd say it's meant to, you know, be some sort of maybe between an 8 and 13-year-old girl kind of pounding on the piano, pretending she's a world-weary woman.
Matt, in other interviews, you've described this CD as sissy psychedelic Satanism.
Yeah, that was my bad catchphrase to try to excuse the way the record sounds. But it was supposed to be, you know, a more, you know, preteens are often especially morbid and cynical in this very particular way. And I wanted also to be kind of a girl's, a girl preteen being cynical and morbid. And so it had to be, you know, it couldn't be like, sound like Black Sabbath or something else. It had to be different. And so the kind of the sounds, the keyboard sounds on the record are my poor attempt to try to suggest a girl who's seen The Omen too much.
Later on in this track, there's voices being played backwards and there's voices played backwards other places, too. And what's really interesting to me about that is the whole idea of, like, playing voices backwards. It's so audio tape. It's so, like, reel-to-reel tape, which very few people use now. It's kind of like a defunct medium, although I confess we do a lot of reel-to-reel tape here on Fresh Air. But that's beside the point. I mean, so you're kind of using a very dated technology for that effect, or at least you're using an effect that comes out of a very dated technology.
Yeah, it's such a fun physical effect. I mean, seeing videotape or film of people walk backwards is fun. But for me, it doesn't have the same sort of physical thrill as hearing audio backwards or hearing speech backwards. It's very fun and physical. And I think for people our age, the first kind of recording we would do would be on 4-track cassette. And cassette multi-tracks are even easier to turn backwards than reel-to-reel things, because literally you just open the case up and flip the tape over and then you've got backwards. So it's one of the first things you try to do trying to record things on your own, is to flip things backwards. It's a sound we grew up with, you know, on records, on classic rock radio or even pop radio. It'd be a very normal sound to me.
Matt, what do you like about writing songs for your sister's voice?
I think of her voice as like Sinatra's voice. A big kind of very, it's got a lot of character to me. It's very authoritative. And it's like a mountain. It's very, you know, she's not got the most versatile voice, but it's I think of it as a fact of nature, and I think of her when writing songs. I try
force of nature.
A fact of nature. It's just there, and also the thing about her vocal performances, she manages to sound intense, I think, without any overacting or any rock and roll kind of posing.
Do you also think of yourself, Eleanor, as not posing when you're on stage?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, I say this all the time, but it's hard to pretend like you're a cool rock star when you're with your brother, your sister, and for me it's something that's become really natural. I don't know how, but standing in front of people and shouting in the microphone has become something that comes really easy to me.
Now, what are some of the sources outside of rock and pop that you feel you've drawn on for your music?
Outside of rock? Well, I mean, I think none. I mean, I know I like to think of our music being real genre-specific. I'm always uncomfortable with people in bands, rock bands, saying, you know, I'm inspired by the Three Penny Opera or something like that. You know, there's in Dylan's songs or in the British rock of the late 60s and with Brazilian rock from the late 60s, there's all sorts of weird, strange precedents in rock music. But I try to, you know, come up with some kind of scenario for what the record is supposed to be, and that'll excuse how the record sounds. Like on the record with our grandmother, it's her talking, and it's this sort of parlor music, broken keyboard parlor music, because that suggests the musical world of our grandmother, we think, pretty successfully. And I think, for me, I would try to think about the specific things we do, and then however I set that up in my own head, I use that to excuse any nonsense I want to do at the time.
Well, I want to play a track from your previous CD, Rehearsing My Choir. And this is the one in which your grandmother is telling stories that appear to be autobiographical. And Eleanor, you're kind of singing with and behind her. And how did you get the idea to do this record? And I'm interested whether Matt and Eleanor, whether you wrote this for your grandmother or whether she spoke it and then you transcribed it and then you had her speak it, speak it from the transcription. In other words, like, how did you get these stories in the form that you wanted them for the record?
Well, Matt, you know, we had talked about different stories that would be good to use from her, you know, just from growing up and listening to her talk all the time. But then Matt actually sat down with her and said, these are the things I want to write about, and asked her for more specific details, and then went back again, and she said, you know, yes to this and no to that. And that.
She didn't say no to anything. I mean, I wrote it out of my own head, but of course I wrote it from hearing her voice for all my life. So, you know, it was kind of like writing from a recording of her speaking, because that's, you know, in the back of my head, her speaking is written there. And a lot of the stories are true, and a lot of the stories are nearly true, and it was easy, I think, for us to, you know, have it be something that she was comfortable with, because we do know her very well. And also, she's got a generous, dramatic or pseudo-dramatic personality, so she was pretty much up to do anything. She didn't want to insult people at her church, and that was easy to not do.
Tell us the story of Guns Under the Counter, and then we'll hear the track.
Guns Under the Counter is about a bowling alley that our grandmother's aunt and uncle owned in Cicero. And it was a bowling alley that, in Cicero at the time, the folklore was there was gangsters would come in, people from Capone's gang, and of course they claim Al Capone himself. And a rival gang apparently came and shot up the bowling alley one time, hoping to hit somebody in the organization. Our grandmother would go there, and she was always, as a kid, she would talk about, well, later she would talk about that she was a good bowler, and it was because of the time spent here. So I wanted to make sure to include that, her boasting about her bowling prowess on this record. So she gets to, it's a good mix of, hopefully the song's a good mix of gangsters and bowling, two great American things.
Okay, so this is Guns Under the Counter from the Fiery Furnaces album, Rehearsing My Choir.
Two,
3, 4.
Well, good for you. But we have something, too. So said my aunt.
A bowling alley and lunch counter filled with pillows on their lunch break from the Western Electric plant at a slant across the street. And next door, when so-and-so's men would come in, and the man himself very often, it was guns under the counter every time. Guns under the counter every time. But guns under the counter and bowling on the second floor. Very often he was there himself. And I, of course, had a special small ball as a little girl. And didn't I grow up, didn't I grow up to be captain of the Morton girls' bowling team? I did. Though I don't attach much importance to that now or then, than riding the old Garfield Bell downtown and on up to State Street and back to guns under the counter. Guns under the counter every time. The guns under the counter and bowling on the second floor.
That's the Fiery Furnaces from their album Rehearsing My Choir. And, you know, there aren't a lot of indie rock people who have their grandmothers featured on their records.
Really?
It's such an interesting idea to do this. And your grandmother has such a commanding voice with that perfect kind of diction. Someone who's kind of used to, I guess, rehearsing her choir, you know, used to kind of giving people instructions. It's such an interesting voice.
Yeah, she's got this Midwestern. She's from Davenport, and she's got this Midwestern elocution class accent mixed with her kind of. She slips in certain words into a kind of a Greek accent, or it doesn't sound Greek to me anymore. It sounds like a Lady Dracula accent sometimes that she does, and it's just from her being. She always was, you know, singing class and acting class, and it comes from just, you know, singing and reciting the purplest prose possible at speech competitions, things like that in the 30s.
Just hearing how she speaks would make me think that she would try to improve your diction all the time. Not because your diction's bad, but she just seems like the kind of person who would always want this really kind of crisp, clear diction.
The thing I remember her correcting me the most as a kid was I'd say these ones, meaning whatever, and she'd always say these. You don't have to say these ones, you only say these. I don't know what she corrected Matt. But.
I can't remember her mumbling. She probably would say, why are you mumbling? But there was a line, I can't remember, in the song Rehearsing My Choir. Like I wrote, there's one man with that I couldn't get along with, and she pointed out very proudly, she said, shouldn't I say, there's one man with whom I couldn't get along? You know? And, of course, I was very happy to change it to because that she would never say, there's one man I couldn't get along with. That's true.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Matt and Eleanor Friedberger, The Fiery Furnaces. And what I'd like to do is play something from your first album, which is called Gallows Birds Bark. And I'm going to play the first track, which is called South Is Only a Home. Do you want to say anything about this before we hear it?
Well, I'm thrilled that it's going to be on the radio because I'm sure it's going to be the one and only time. That's one of the first songs Matt and I did together, I think.
Yeah, and it's a song of Eleanor's. The lyrics are about being in London. Well, you should explain.
A friend of mine lived in a place called Morden, which is the last stop on the northern line, which is south of the river. I don't know.
And so the recording was made to sound as much like a cartoon train as possible.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love musically, you know, you have these like scales that sound very, you know, like ordered, but it's so, there's such a sense of kind of mayhem to the instrumentation. So it's a really nice mix of kind of order and mayhem. I like that a lot. So
yeah, it's good. Well, that's what, you know, trains are like that. It's busy subway trains. There's a lot of mayhem, people pushing each other in the train, but the train is very, knows exactly what it's doing. It's going to the exact same places. So that's what hopefully it's supposed to sound like.
And it's a good example of the way Matt and I first started working together, because it was just a song I'd done on the four track with one guitar chord and me singing over it, and then Matt, you know, rearranged it completely and added all this life to it.
Oh, good. So let's hear it. This is South Is Only a Home from the first Fiery Furnaces CD, which is called Gallows Birds Bark.
Thank you.
restless low. I could have had a chin and go from your eyes. But Sandy thinks he knows the train. All the games and the plays and the ways I made. Do you believe in the first way to lend a hand? It's a second chance, no, you never plan. But just a close encounter that comes to mind.
That's the Fiery Furnaces from their first CD. And the Fiery Furnaces are Matt and Eleanor Friedberger, who are brother and sister. Matt, you have a solo record coming out later in the summer, in August. Give us a preview of it.
Well, one's just... our record Bitterty we'd made a year before. So I wanted to make a... We weren't going to make a record this winter, so I wanted to do a record to keep up my songwriting credentials. So one is a record of simple songs, simple rock songs, and the other is a story record called Holy Ghost Language School about a guy from Chicago who wants to set up a business language school but doesn't want to teach the languages to people. He wants them all to get the Holy Ghost and then be able to mutually understand each other via the divine inspiration.
Did you ever think you should be writing theater music, because so many of your albums have this... this narrative and theatrical concept behind them?
Yeah, well, I think rock music is a dramatic kind of music. You know, it's the music is pretty much all the same in rock music. It's the same chords over and over again. It's the same sort of sounds, and so it's all about the way personalities stand out against that background. And so it's dramatic. It's a dramatic music, and even if it's not a narrative music, often.
No, a lot of parents are very disappointed when they have a child who wants to be a musician, because it's hard to make it as a musician in whatever music world you're a part of. So when your parents realized they had two children whose dream was to be in a band, did that please them or bother them?
They seem so thrilled, you know, that the fact that we're doing something together... This makes it doubly exciting for them and nice for them, because it was seemed like such an unlikely sort of circumstance, you know, that we would be working together.
But, yeah, you know, usually as parents you have to worry about one kid is doing well, one kid's not as well, one this kind of thing, but at least now it really simplifies things for them because we're doing exactly the same. We have the same amount of money in the bank account. We have the same everything like that, so, and we're in the same place. They can call us both at the same time. Really simplifies things for a parent, for the kids to be in the same rock band together, I think.
Well, I want to thank both of you very much. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you very much.
Matthew and Eleanor Friedberger of the Fiery Furnaces. Their new CD is called Bitter Tea.